You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of thousands of videos and a suite of powerful admin tools to provide practical training for every area of ministry in your church. Find out more and get a free 30-day trial at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
And today we are sitting down with Brad Lominick.
What's up, everybody?
Brad is full
I get a laugh out of Todd every time.
Every time.
Brad is full of vim and vigor today. He's
What's vim?
I don't know.
It goes with vigor. They're partners. Vim and vigor. It's like Penn and Teller.
Yes.
Neither of them exists without the other.
Yeah. We should do something with that.
What's vim and vigor?
Yeah, we should team up. Be vim.
It sounds like a cool, you know.
But only vigor does anything. Vim is like.
It sounds
like a cool coffee bar,
or coffee shop. Vim and vigor. Vim, hey, where are you going this afternoon? Vim and vigor.
Yeah, or like vim and vinegar or something. If you wanted to turn it into a restaurant,
that's true.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go. So that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. It's just a little witty banter, which we know is what you're really here for. So what we are going to be talking about today on this episode is self-awareness and self-evaluation.
Dun,
so,
dun, dun.
What about self-loathing?
That could be part of accurate self-awareness. Who knows? Depends on who you are. We have talked, we've heard from various guests at different points how important this is. We know that for a leader, you have to be able to evaluate yourself, your actions, your character, these different things, to be able to know, are you doing a good job? Are you the kind of person you ought to be, etc. But it's very tricky and it's pretty subtle how to go about doing this. So we put together 5 questions to try to sort through this and hopefully say something helpful. So I'm just going to jump in with our first question, and that is, why is accurate self-evaluation and then significant self-awareness, why are those so important for a leader?
Brad. I think it's where leadership starts. You know, I mean, your ability to know the real you and to be truly, truly aware of the real you is vital. And especially today, like this is more important today than it's ever been. If you have a lack of self-awareness, then you're walking around in fantasy land. And the old days of leadership, you could sort of get away with that. We still had a premise that you could hide stuff. You wouldn't get found out. But today, this is the reality is if you're not incredibly self-aware, younger leaders especially won't follow you.
Yeah.
Because they're fake.
Yeah. It's just directly tied to your authenticity.
Exactly.
So
self-awareness and authenticity go hand in hand.
If you don't have one, you at least appear not to have the other.
Right. And I think for me anyway.
You may be authentically unaware.
Yeah, you're authentic. You can truly be, I guess, authentically unaware. But, you know, identity.
Which makes you even less likable.
Yes. And identity as a leader is, again, like if you dive even deeper into self-awareness, it comes back to the issue of identity. Yeah. And do you truly know who you truly are? And are you dialed in with the true sense of yourself? And so many of us are walking around as leaders and we live in reality deprivation syndrome.
Yeah. I think in the current milieu of social media, and so much is demanded.
Did he just use milieu?
I did.
Milieu. It goes with vim and vigor.
It does. By the way, while you were talking, sorry, I was slightly distracted and had to Google vim, which is all
funny because
energy.
I was just talking about social media and stuff, and here you are poking around on your phone. Mm-hmm. One of 4 devices you have in this room with you right now.
I have a problem.
At least you're self-aware.
An intervention?
At least you're self-aware.
I am self-aware.
Of fact.
I know that.
You're still doing it. You're not that self-aware. You're not taking steps to solve the problem.
What was your point, Barnabas? You were going somewhere.
I was, and then Todd interrupted because I said milieu, and he found that amusing in some way.
milieu too.
Hey, milieu, buddy.
So my point was...
This is going to be a good one.
My point was, I think, that so much is expected of leaders in terms of public statements and responding to everything. And, I mean... We are in the midst of a pretty disgusting political race.
Right.
And self-awareness is what's lacking in so many of these people. So, I mean, I think in an era where leaders are demanded to be public figures, it is very hard to be a behind-the-scenes leader most of the time now, it's even more important because self-awareness is what keeps you from shooting yourself in the foot.
What have you all found with leaders you've been around that drove you crazy with leaders who were not self-aware?
Well, that's actually basically our second question. So Brad,
boom,
our co-host just teed it up.
There you go.
So
Look at the big brain over there, guy.
What are some examples of the mistakes that non-self-aware leaders make?
I promise.
He's cheating.
No,
he's
I promise.
Did you say milieu?
Yeah.
Draw two.
You people.
Skip you.
You people.
Draw two. Milieu. So,
Todd, I'm about to mute your mic. You can keep talking all you want. Examples of mistakes that non-self-aware leaders make. I think interrupting people and making jokes out of the word milieu is one. I think that's real high on my list of things that annoy me right now. So.
Well, the one that drives me crazy, I wasn't setting myself up for giving this answer, but the one that drives me crazy with the lack of self-awareness is when you're asking me to do something that you're not willing to do.
Yeah.
Or
criticizing people for things that you already do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you live in fantasy land and you think, well, there's a ring of protection of my reputation and who I am around me because I'm in this role, I'm in this position, I have this title that all of a sudden nobody knows really what's going on.
Yeah.
And that is just so untrue. Like everybody on your team is already aware many times before you are.
Yes.
Of the things that you don't do well, of the things that you struggle with.
If you don't think you have weaknesses,
just ask your team.
Just ask
your team.
All you have to do is ask your team. I don't have to ask my team. They were forthcoming. They're forthcoming with that. But no, seriously, all the time, one of the frequent questions you get is, hey, give me your strengths and weaknesses, or, you know, in a performance review, what do I need to work on? Like, you should always be able to walk into your performance review and know some stuff that you need to work on. You want to impress your boss? Tell him some really insightful stuff that you need to work on. Now, I know that doesn't work with every boss because some are not good bosses. But
right.
If you have a good leader and a good boss, they're going to actually be impressed when you walk in with that self-awareness. And if they offer, you need to let them know what they need to work on. I ask, what do you want me to stop doing? Start doing and keep doing of every performance review.
I think mistakes that a leader who is not self-aware makes is another one is just taking on things they have no business taking on.
Right.
So something they ought to delegate.
Yes.
Something that they have somebody on their team who's just, they're really good at that thing. And the leader's like, oh, I got this one.
Yeah.
Why? You're not good at that. But they assume they're good at that. And you see this all around. I mean, that's not just a leadership thing. People nowadays have been told that they were amazing since they were kids because their parents would never give them realistic expectations.
Yeah, it's the American Idol factor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how can you tell me I'm not an American Idol? Well, because you can't hit a note. But
yeah, you're awful, but you're still devastated by the fact that somebody told you you're awful finally.
Right. And usually leaders, that's not across the board because it's hard to get into a leadership position if you're completely irrational, but there will be areas where they think they can do something and they shouldn't, or they try to chair a committee and somebody else will be better for that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not that they couldn't do it. It's that they take on too much. The self-awareness to say it would be better for everybody if I didn't take that responsibility, even if I could, because I can develop somebody else in doing this and I can free myself from that worry and that stress.
And sometimes leaders, this is a tension and a temptation of leaders is, in a way that is real, you think that you stepping in is going to help the organization.
Yeah.
Because you assume you should because you're in charge. When in fact you're as you said, Barnabas, like you're making it worse because there is somebody who's better at that than you are. But you think, well, because I'm in charge and I'm the leader, I have to like assume and jump into that.
Yeah.
Like no, the self-aware leader says, I don't do that well. In fact, there's somebody else who's better. And I'm going to let them do their job. Here's another one for me that drives me crazy is when a leader takes credit for something happening with the assumption that because they're in charge, they get all the credit.
Yeah.
When in fact that they know specifically many times who on the team made that happen.
Yeah.
And because they're not self-aware enough, they humble brag, but it ends up basically looking like all the credit's coming back to me. And they never really give credibility and passing on the honor or the kudos or the ego biscuits to that person who actually did the assignment.
Or it goes back to, I've never met anybody who was fired for developing a team of rock stars. So exactly. Go ahead and give them the credit for it, and you just look like a better leader.
Absolutely. Right. I think one other instance of mistakes is leaders who hold on too long. It takes an enormous amount of self-awareness to say, I should Preach. Step away. I think that's especially prevalent in the church.
Yeah.
Because usually in business, that leader gets pushed out the door, well, or it's made clear
the board
for them.
Says you're out, you're or done. The stock price goes
whereas,
down. Or,
whereas a pastor can hold on for 3 or 4 or 8 years too long.
I thought you were going to say decades. I was just kidding.
It could be. But I just mean there's usually not the context for a group of people to say it would be better if we found a transition. And so self-awareness says, you know, if you're 50 and hoping to pastor until you're 65 at 50, you are thinking, how do we develop the person to replace me? Because it could happen at 55. But that kind of thing, that holding on too long, is a lack of self-awareness.
Well, I have one, and then we should probably move on to the next one. But it's really, when I think about it, I also think, okay, as you go up in levels of leadership, the higher level you go, your lack of self-awareness gets multiplied.
Absolutely.
And exacerbated.
Yeah.
So you have to constantly have people around you that are going to help you with that, because you tend to be more and more isolated. You tend to have more and more people around you that just want to please you, that want to
tell you what you want to hear.
Tell you what you want to hear. So you're very in a very precarious place, even if you are self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're further from reality the higher you go up the ladder.
Yep. Well, I think that does move us to our third question. Because one of the hardest things about self-awareness is that it has to do with ourselves, and we are not the best judges of ourselves. We usually tend to judge ourselves really, really graciously. We always think better of ourselves than we ought. Even if we don't like ourselves, we still treat ourselves nicer than we treat everybody else. And so the question is, how can you be sure you are self-aware or are assessing yourself accurately? How do you know that you're actually self-aware? How do you know that what you think of yourself is the real thing?
Well, the first step would be that as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, like, you are constantly leaning into that sense of discipleship, proving your self-awareness, and that many times that leads us to realize that we're not the center of the story in a big picture, but that's a huge part of it, spiritual development and discipleship. I would say that from just a practical side, taking tests, the more tests you can take, the better off you will be. And some tests are better than others, but the more you're allowing a system or a scientific approach or a data-driven analysis to spit you out some feedback is going to really help you, along with then asking people around you.
It's objective, like, and subjective.
Yes. And I would say, like,
the objective gives you something to ask those people about, because you say, this thing says that I am this. Like,
you cannot ask people. Well, you can.
Well, since you asked.
Don't only allow the people you ask for feedback be people you pay.
Yeah.
Because if people you pay are the only ones giving you feedback, you know what kind of feedback you're going to get?
You're awesome.
Oh, you're amazing.
Except, like, Todd's
I
team.
I love working for you. Yeah. Yeah, you guys have an asterisk next to you.
But that is because the thing that I was going to say in relation to this is giving permission to hit hard.
Yes.
And Todd has set the tone for our team that if there is something that would benefit calling out, we call it out. And that's a multiple-way street. And so,
and that's a culture you build.
Yeah. And so, but in a personal relationship,
it's not an easy culture to live in unless you're...
Unless there's a lot of trust.
Unless there's a lot of trust. That's all I'll say about that.
I have a couple friends who, just in the last few months, I felt like I didn't have people in my life who I had given enough permission to tell me when my crap stinks. So I had to go to them and say, hey, if you see something from me that is whatever, anything out of line, please get in my face and tell me, because I don't know how self-aware I am. I'm trying to do what you suggested, Brad, and that's, you stack yourself up against the fruits of the Spirit. You pray that the Holy Spirit would give you discernment. You have what you hope is a tender heart, but you still need people on the outside saying, hey, that thing that you said and did right there,
right,
Well, a lot of room for that.
And I would say never forget the living, breathing word of God.
Yeah. Yeah. To convict, you, and challenge and inspire.
Absolutely. If you're reading your Bible daily, regularly at least, you're going to have a couple of times a week where you get punched in the face by
and your conscience will be very alive.
It will be.
And very on track.
And here's the thing with that. Either you have a choice to make, because nobody else knows that unless you've invited people in your life that you're talking about it with.
Right.
But nobody else knows that. And you have a choice whether to shut it down or actually apply it to your life. If you don't apply it to your life, eventually that voice is going to grow.
And you have to, this is just like vision. Yeah. You know, I've heard Perry Noble say, you know, leaders are repeaters in terms of vision.
Yeah.
Because many times people don't pick it up.
And podcasts, apparently.
And podcasts. But you, like, your ability to, this is so true. This is a theme we keep hearing with leadership. The more you're stewarding, the more influence and authority you have and title, the more you have to lean into this, which is you're constantly giving permission to people around you. Hey, no holds barred. Give me one piece of feedback on the way I've been leading you the past week that you would love to see change. No holds barred. I won't hold this against you. And you're constantly saying that. And most leaders would think, if I stand up in a staff meeting once a year and say, all right, everybody, give me some feedback on why I'm not a good leader. Okay, that's a start.
It's a start, but the only people you're going to get feedback are the ones who are not self-aware.
Exactly, right. So you have to,
because anybody who's self-aware isn't going to do that in front of a large group of people.
You have to create a culture that says, like, be willing to speak into me because I know that it's going to help me. It's going to help me at the end of the day.
Yeah, you have to create peers. In the previous question, we ended it by talking about people who had risen to the level where they didn't have anybody who could speak into them.
They're isolated.
You have to create peers, which means that if somebody is not positionally on the same level as you, you give them permission to speak as if they are.
Yeah.
Where they are looking you square in the eyes. They're not saying, hey, this might get me in trouble, but they're just saying, this is the thing you did or you said or you do that you can't do anymore because of this. And so you have to give somebody permission to be at your level if you are over them.
And I know this, like, this is true with friendships, and all three of us probably have had these examples, but I've had multiple friends who I was friends with that had a moral failure. They had something happen in their life that was disappointing. And the one regret I had more than anything else was, why didn't I speak into their life in a more appropriate, confrontational, challenging way? Because I've never had anybody speak into my life that when I walked away from that interaction and they were confronting me or making me more self-aware, that I wrote them off.
Yeah.
Like, and we think, if we take a risk and we push into somebody that might actually end our friendship or end the
not if they love Jesus.
Right.
If they are hard-hearted, it might, but that's a different issue.
And that's not your issue.
Right. And especially if you speak in love.
Yes.
So we've talked about, again, sort of the conceptual things, but we started to touch on this next question. So let's just jump into it. And that is, what are 2 to 3 habits someone can work on to develop in self-awareness? And we've touched on this pretty distinctly, the spiritual side of things. So the habit of being in the Word so that God can open your eyes to yourself and your own condition. But what are some other habits, maybe relational, maybe self-study, whatever it is?
I would say, first you already hit on, which is, cultivate a tender heart, and you do that by being in Scripture and being open to that. And when something is there, you address it, or if you don't address it, at least, talk about it with somebody so that it's remaining in front of you. The next big thing, which is, again, we've already talked about, is bringing people around you that will speak into your life, that you trust, that trust you, that aren't yes men. And then lastly, it is that whole idea of being aware objectively of, hey, this is who I am, my strengths, my weaknesses. I've taken these personality tests and this spiritual gift assessment and this strength finders assessment. People want to push those aside or blow those off or treat them like they're horoscopes or fortune cookies or something. But a ton of research has gone into those, and, I know they're still controversial. But the worst thing that can happen is you become more introspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you guys an example, a story. I hope I won't take too long, but
no, you're good.
So I'm a type A, I'm ambitious. My default is I'll run over people if not careful. And our team, our Catalyst team a couple years ago went out and we went to Dave and Buster's, this fun place where you play video games. And it was one of
those. That's like Todd's favorite place. And as a team, we had to help him be self-aware that Dave and Buster's burgers are the worst food in the world.
Well, okay.
I didn't that's say they
other,
were the best.
That's a whole other topic. But, you know, in my own self-awareness, lacking self-awareness,
that's what we go for.
I wasn't really great about celebrating. And I had to, like, be intentional about finding somebody in our team who would plan these things. But we went out to Dave and Buster's, and we play the video games, and it's a celebration day for the team. And we get enough tickets where we can actually go and get something in the, you know, in the gift store. And
this is
they
so
end up
wise.
Buying they end up buying the team does. I'm probably over on the phone doing something, and the team goes and they buy two dolls at the gift store. And then they're all giggling, and so here I come back into the conversation. Hey, what'd you guys get? Oh, we got these two dolls. Ha ha ha, hee hee, funny. What is that? What do you mean?
You don't sound amused, Brad.
Well, okay. One of these dolls is you, Brad. Actually, they're both you. One of these dolls is an angel, and it's an angel. Like, it's got a ring. It's a halo ring. It's that's Brad. That's the Brad we love. Then there's this other doll. I'm like, well, what's the other doll? Well, that's Satan, and his name is Darb.
Like, is Brad Darb, backwards?
Brad backwards.
Yeah.
The alter ego, the evil empire Brad, which is the leader we despise, the leader we hate. That's the leader we don't want even when Darb is in the office, we don't want to mess with Darb. We don't want to even talk to Darb. We stay away from Darb at all points possible. And for me, as like, first of all, it was kind of like, well, that kind of hurts.
Yeah.
But as a self-aware leader, I had a choice at that point. Like, could I lean into that? And because here's what the reality was this, my team knew me way better than I knew myself. And so from that point on, I had to start working on, okay, less of Darb, more Brad, less of Darb, more Brad, less of Darb, more Brad. And that self-awareness for me was a game changer, all because of a funny, ha-ha, like two dolls.
Well, the fact that they had the freedom to do that, like they knew that you weren't just going to like go home, you're fired. There were some good things in play already.
Yes, definitely. But it was a good lesson of one, like, if we think we have it all figured out as leaders and we're like the cat's meow and we're the greatest example of leadership ever, and even though I'm writing leadership books and leading a leadership conference organization, I've got blind spots.
Yeah.
And I got to be aware that I have blind spots, and we all have blind spots. So practically, like, own your blind spots.
Yeah.
Don't work on your blind spots in terms of making them worse. But you have to realize that you have blind spots as a leader, and that's part of being self-aware.
And I think on the point of blind spots,
is that
the essence of blind spots is that you can't see them, which means you don't know what you don't know. And right. So humility says you just always assume there's something that you're doing or that you're being that is not up to snuff. And so you have to continue to work in this, because the moment you think I am self-aware, you have ceased to be self-aware.
Can I add one more?
Yes.
It's not a story, but just as practical.
Yep.
Four words or four phrases. I'm sorry. Thank you. Great job. Keep it up. I'm sorry. Thank you. And you could replace or put in there in any of those, forgive me. I mean, I'm sorry, forgive me, but thank you. Great job. Keep it up.
Yeah.
If you'll put those four phrases into your vocabulary as a leader, as a self-aware leader, and most of the time you're going to use one of those, which is, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Self-aware leaders are very willing to apologize and to be willing to walk in and eat crow.
Yeah.
And versus that sense that I'm in charge. I never say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, you just move on to the next thing.
I never made mistakes.
Yeah. Well, I think the last question is probably the most practical, and we may have touched on some of these, but we've talked about habits and why is it so important, but what are the best resources that you know of for developing self-awareness and growing in self-evaluation? So you guys have mentioned StrengthsFinder and what's that?
Goleman's.
Emotional intelligence.
Working with emotional intelligence or emotional intelligence QuickBook, which I don't think is by him. But that's a great one. That is a super fast practical read that also has a quiz in the end of it.
Is that Daniel Goleman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Various spiritual gifts tests are very helpful too for the same thing, because I think one of the areas where people might lack self-awareness distinctly. I mean, and this is not specific to leaders, is where do they fit in the church? How can they serve? People will gravitate towards things that maybe is not a good fit for them. So a spiritual gifts or gifting test can be really helpful in figuring out what are the things that God made you to do. And that really helps in terms of happiness and fit and a lot of other things.
I recently, this is kind of my own one I made up for self-awareness. And part of it was just trying to discover some, as I said earlier, like celebration about the way I'm wired, and also trying to create joy moments. But I started writing down, like, where am I most me?
Yeah.
Where am I most me? Mm-hmm. So, for example, I'm most me at many conferences in the green room. And not because it's the green room, it could be the lobby, but I'm most me when I'm able to like mingling. Connect people yeah. and have conversations and say, hey, you need to know this person. And have you met this friend of mine? Cause I'm a connector. I love doing that. I'm most me in a duck blind.
There you go.
I love duck hunting. I'm, you know, but if you'll actually start capturing these, when are you most you?
You could work that into your next book too.
What's that? The duck blind?
Duck blind leadership or something like
that. Oh, duck blind leadership.
There you go.
Because, yeah, I mean, as a promo, you could send the book with like a duck call.
This is huge. This is game changer right here.
Yep.
You could duck get together with Uncle Si.
You might get sued by those guys out. Though.
They haven't written a leadership book. Maybe I can be their leadership voice.
No comments.
Could happen.
Anyway, where are you? Your most you.
Right.
Capture some of those. Like write them down. Ask your friends. Where do you find me being my most me?
That question, where am I my most me, is, I had sort of a sub question on this one that I want to ask you guys, and that is, what are good self-evaluation questions to ask? So where am I the most me is just that kind of question. It's something where you can stack up what you're doing, how you're acting, how you're feeling, how you perceive yourself to treat other people, and try to rate it, grade it, whatever it is. So what are questions we should ask of ourselves to evaluate ourselves better?
Well, a big one is, am I getting better? And that's a really broad question, but it goes back to improvement, personal growth. Yeah. You know, am I actually better now than I was a year ago?
And on that point, things like journaling are really important, because otherwise you will not have a sense. Because if growth is slow, it can be measurable over the course of a year, but it will feel like nothing from day to day. So you have to be able to go back and look, where was I at the beginning of 2015 versus the beginning of 2016 to see, am I actually better?
And I think having like really clear buckets, I do this at the end of every year. I have like 8 areas of self-evaluation. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's, you know, physical. Like I've lost 60 pounds. So, I mean, that's I've self-awareness wise, and just like looking at it and saying, is that a measurement of success? It has been. Emotional, you know, spiritual, as a friend, vocational. Mm-hmm. So I have these 8 areas, and I just walk through those and try to give myself a grade of how am I doing.
Yeah.
And it's not like I've got an 85. It's more of, am I improving?
Yeah.
Well, it's really hard to do that.
It's like
if
up,
you
down,
haven't
or
been
sideways.
Journaling.
Yeah, exactly.
If you haven't been journaling, if you haven't been writing it down.
If you haven't been buying smaller pant sizes over the course of the year.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, then you know.
It's easy to see if you lost weight or not. I mean, that one's actually like it's a pass fail.
It's really satisfying.
It's a pass fail. Yeah.
The only other one that I had that was very similar is, where am I seeing the most impact? Like, where am I seeing the most return on, you know, my time, effort, energy? But yeah, I would tend to go back to the scripture piece and the journaling piece and say, okay, well, that's the greatest. To me, that's the greatest resource that's not going to be swayed in one direction or the other.
Right.
Emotionally, you can, you know, you want to be careful that you're not lying to yourself or you're not listening to the wrong voices. But there is no better, there's no better self-evaluation tool than regularly reading scripture, in my opinion.
Now, the only one that I was going to say, it's tricky because it's a bit of a chicken or the egg, because you need some self-awareness to know this. But I think if anybody who's willing to be a little bit honest can see this, and that is, you know, how much do people enjoy being around me, working with me, being in my home? How much, you know, do my kids seem happy when I come home from work? Those kinds of things. Because while that's not necessarily an indication of you, because they have their own factors, if somebody is consistently miserable around you, you probably need to change something. You know, that, so it's broad, it's vague. You have to be able to read other people to do it. But again, it's a little bit like the Brad and Darb thing. Like it, that little silly thing that they did helped you see, oh, I'm being the thing that makes people miserable today, as right. opposed to the thing that they enjoy working with.
Yeah. And the fact that I know as a leader that I will potentially default to leave people in the ditch, that yeah. I'll become Darb. It actually gives permission then to the team to go, you're Darbing me right now. You're yeah. you're becoming Darb. So now so they
hang,
have
to hang one to on your Darb door side. Instead of the other.
And instead of it being weird and they don't know when to bring it up, they're like, hey, you're being Darb. And what I did in that case, I didn't even realize it. I was giving them permission to push back on me and to help me be more self-aware of the thing I struggle with.
I think one other question, and this just popped into my head, is self-aware people are aware of other people's
yeah,
problems
exactly.
and feelings and how they're, so the more, if you are growing in your perception of other people, I'm able to read other people, I'm able to see how they're doing, that's probably an indication that you're growing in your own self-awareness as well.
How do I say Barnabas?
I was just thinking of that. Sanrab, I think.
Sabanrab.
Sabanrab and, yeah. and Dot.
It'd be a great
dot.
Show.
Sabanrab and Dot.
Dot. No, Dot. Dot.
Yeah, there's no double D's Saban in the rab. Beginning of a word.
Sabanrab. Lominick is Kinnamal. Darb Kinnamal. Well,
I think in the,
signing off, Darb Kinnamal.
In the interest of self-awareness, we should realize that we have now jumped the shark and are talking backwards, and we should probably wrap this. Any other genius thoughts before we go?
Well, gentlemen? my last thought is, this is a whole other conversation for a whole other podcast, but when you think about identity and self-awareness, you have to take it back to that's who you are.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like the true foundation of self-awareness is wrestling and coming to grips with identity. And identity is who you are. It's not what you do. It's who you are.
Well, and I would say God cares more about who you are than what you do.
Absolutely.
And so, and remembering who you are today is not who you were or who you will be, and that it's ever changing. And so self-evaluation is always important.
All right. I think those are two great words to end on. So we will wrap this there. Thank you so much for listening. I hope it's been helpful and encouraging to you. And we really appreciate your ears listening to us. Jump on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. Or you can leave us a negative review if we need to grow in our self-awareness as well. Yes. We don't enjoy that very much. But again, in an interest of honesty, we need
just
to
sign
ask
it,
for
Darb.
It.
Yeah, Sabanrab.
Yeah. Darb, Sabanrab, and Dot, ask for that. Thanks so much for listening and tune in next time. Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks and watch a short demo video. For participating, you will get a free 30-day trial for your entire church. Again, that's ministrygrid.com/howitworks.